CF United, the premier Cold Fusion Conference by TerraTech Programming. Created by developers for developers.
Good morning. I'll go ahead and get started since it looks like the room's filling up. First of all, I want to thank everybody for being here so early in the morning. It's certainly appreciated. This presentation is Fun with Structures, and I'm Celine Bainham. If you want, you can go ahead and get started filling out the little presentation survey. Don't forget to hand that in at the end. I'd like to start out with what you're going to get out of this presentation so you can quickly decide and make sure that you are in the right presentation. You're here because you want to learn what structures are, specifically understanding the differences between structures and different and other cold fusion complex data types. In here, you're going to learn how to create and use structures and learn how structures can help with site efficiency. They're not only fun to use, although apparently I'm one of the only people who thinks that they are because I've been teased a lot by the title of this presentation, but you know they can help efficiency as well. And I'm going to show you some examples of how to create structures and use them and output them and things like that. I've been doing database and web development for a long time now. In fact, this month is my 10th anniversary of Cold Fusion development. Started back with version 1.5, so I'm old school, which means I sometimes have a hard time embracing some of the newer concepts. I did not embrace structures when they first came out. It probably took me a couple years to get into them, and sometimes I think it's better when you start when the functionality's there because you learn it from the start. Whereas if the functionality is built into the product later, you sometimes have a harder time getting used to it. I have been a member of team Insert Company Name Here since 1997. Started out with Allaire, and I have lots of t-shirts that say Allaire and all this one stuff. And then it was Macromedia. I was like, okay, cool. You know, got t-shirts and stuff with Macromedia. Now it's Adobe. I don't have an Adobe t-shirt yet, but I'm hoping to get one soon. So that's kind of how that program's gone, and I've seen Cold Fusion as it's grown from company to company. I co-authored a couple books that didn't sell very well and are probably no longer on the shelves. I run a website called webtricks.com. Unfortunately, it's a little bit out of date, but there's some stuff on there that was relevant 3 years ago. What is relevant, though, is I do have this presentation and the code examples available online. So they're available now, as are my my other presentation, Writing Efficient SQL. And if you're really a morning person, you can join me 8 a.m. Saturday morning for that one. And I'm currently employed as an internal systems architect at a company called Input in Northern Virginia. So I'm local to the DC area. So in this presentation, we're going to talk about what structures are. It's a concept, as I said, that you might not be familiar with. I certainly wasn't when Cold Fusion came out with them. And I'm going to talk about the differences between structures and arrays. A lot of times, people might not realize what the differences are. They are great, but you can use them together quite a bit. In fact, I almost always use arrays and structures combined. I'm going to talk about how to create and use structures, show some examples, and then wrap it up at the end with some questions and answers. If you have a question on something I'm doing at the time, certainly let me know, and I'll go ahead and answer it as we're going on as opposed to waiting until the end. Well, structures are complex data types that were introduced to Cold Fusion in version 4.5, but they're hardly a new concept. They've been around in other programming languages for a long time. They're often referred to as associative arrays in other languages. In fact, I had done a lot of JavaScript and DHTML work around 1999, and I was creating something called a constructor function and doing this stuff that turns out was structures. I just didn't realize it until I really got into Cold Fusion structures. So if you've worked with other programming languages, it's a concept that you're probably already familiar with, but you might not know it. It's essentially a logical grouping of data using key value pairs. So you have a key, which can be a text or a number, and then it has a value associated with it. Now the keys are stored in no particular order, which can be good or bad. And they're passed by reference, not value. And this is a concept, passing by reference and passing by value, that as someone, I didn't have a true programming background. So again, this was a concept that I didn't quite get. And I'm going to explain a little bit later what that is, and then hopefully you'll be able to get it too. It took me a long time. ColdFusion has a lot of built-in structures, so you're already working with them even if you don't know it. Server, application, session, request, form, URL, and variables. These are all ColdFusion scopes, and they're all structures at the same time. So by showing you some of the examples in this presentation, you'll be able to work with those as structures and not just variable names. Arrays, which most people are very familiar with, have values that are accessed by numeric index, and they can have multiple dimensions, and the indexes are stored in numeric order. There's some drawbacks to that because it's just a number, you don't know what it represents, but it's also nice because everything is in an order. You put it into an array, you have your first item, your second, you loop over, you know, one to the length, and you know it's going to be in the correct order. And there's also a lot of functions with arrays. They're really good for mathematical data because they have array max, array sum, array min. So you can perform mathematical operations on the values in your arrays very quickly. Structures, on the other hand, are accessed by name. As I said, it's a key value pair. And structures are only one dimension. But and as I said, the keys are stored in no particular order. But structures can include other structures and other arrays, so you can get around the one-dimensional restriction by doing that. I'll show an example of why you might want to use a structure as opposed to a two-dimensional array. So I have an array called myArray. It's two dimensions, and it's going to store contact information or information about people. So the first element of the second dimension stores my first name, the second last name, the third my gender. Well, if I'm outputting myArray 1-1 in the code, I'm looking at that. I don't really know what that is. It's just the first element in the second dimension and the first dimension. But if I use a structure, I can see what that is. MyArray 1.firstname. Oh, okay, that's the person's first name. So using keys as opposed to numeric indexes can be very nice. So in this case, MyArray, the item of MyArray in element 1 is a structure that contains three keys, first name, last name, and gender. There are a lot of benefits. Oh, yes? Mm-hmm. The first one is a two-dimensional array, and the second one is an array of a structure. So the array element is a structure. And I'm going to get into this. I'm kind of jumping ahead. I just wanted to show the differences of why you might, what the differences between an array and a structure visually. Well, my array is an array, but the first one has a second dimension. It's a two-dimension array. The second example is a one-dimension array, but the item stored in that first dimension is a structure that has three keys. It is, and because the first one is a two-dimensional array. The second one, you are referencing it, myArray1. But first name, last name, and gender is a structure within the array. I'm going to get to better examples of that. Like I said, I jumped ahead. This is just a visual example of the differences between the two. So as you see in the last slide, one of the benefits of structures is you can reference the elements by name, so you can give them logical names. There is no limitation on the data associated to a key. So you can have substructures, you can have subarrays, simple values, queries, components. You can put anything in a structure. And they can appear to have multiple dimensions because of this, so you can nest them. And structures are faster to access values as opposed to using evaluate. I know a lot of people probably use evaluate. I used to use it all the time. Evaluate is an evil, evil tag. In fact, I remember Ray Camden lecturing me and a lot of people several years ago on how you never, ever want to use evaluate. It just slows things down. And if you don't use structures, you're almost forced to use evaluate pretty often. And another nice thing that I like about structures is you can pass them to ColdFusion components. You can pass an entire structure as one argument. And I've started creating components for everything. So I'm inserting a record. You know, I have 20 values that are getting inserted into a table or series of tables. Instead of passing 20 values, having 20 CF argument tags in my function, I just have one CF argument tag for a structure, and I pass the structure to it. It's a lot less typing, and if I add a value to the table, I add it to the structure and I add it to my insert, I don't have to create another CF argument tag, I don't have to pass another value into my component, especially if I call that component 10 places. So it's just much more efficient and I think easier. There are two ways that you can reference structures, dot notation and index notation. Dot notation is going to be what you're very familiar with, form.id, session.session.id, you know, application. Data source name. The name of the key can be numeric or string, but it has to be syntactically correct, a syntactically correct Cold Fusion variable with the exception of being a number. So it cannot contain spaces, and it also cannot be a variable name, so it can't be dynamic. You have to know that you're calling form.id to use dot notation. So the first two examples are perfectly legal. The first one is going to call key one from the structure called struct name, and the second is first name in structure.struct name. The third is invalid because there's a space in first name. It's going to look for struct name.first, and you can't use a variable name either. If you use index notation, the sky's the limit. You can use anything. So you have your number, which you don't need quotes around because it's a numeric value. Your string first name, because you're calling the literal value, the key name is first name, you're going to put that in double quotes or single quotes. First name with a space is perfectly legal because it's within single quotes. And you can also pass in a variable name, and you wouldn't use quotes because Cold Fusion is going to evaluate the value of the variable name and then return that key for you, or that key's value. If you want to display your structure, the CF dump tag is the easiest way to do it. It's going to output any Cold Fusion variable in this nice DHTML table where you can click, expand, and collapse. But it should not be used in production. At my company, we're always running into efficiency issues. We have code that's 10 years old, code that's 10 minutes old, and we have multiple servers, but we're always running into issues. So we pay a lot of money for someone from Macromedia to go through our logs to figure out what was wrong. And they came back and said, oh, well, you're using CF dump in production. I was like, and they said, don't do that because I think it uses the isstruct function. It causes memory leaks. It's just bloated. Well, we realized we were using CF dump on our error page. If the user got an error, it said, we're sorry, an error occurred. We have this nice bug system we custom build ourselves. We were taking using CF content to save the dump of the error, inserting it into database. So every time a user encountered an error, we were causing memory leaks. So kind of was embarrassing on our part, but it was a very expensive lesson to learn. So don't use dump in production. If you want to display all of the elements within your structure, you can loop over them. And there's a special attribute within CF loop tag called collection, which is a structure. So you pass in the value of the structure, not the structure name, unlike CF output query where you pass in the name of the query. In this case, you actually pass in the structure. So if you put the name of the structure within pound signs, you're passing in the structure. And unlike when you loop over a list and you have the item attribute, when you loop over collection, when you loop over a list or numbers, you have index. With structures, you have item. And the variable name that you assign there is going to hold the key. So to output it, I'm displaying K, which is the key name, and using index notation, because I'm passing in a variable name struct K, an output. And that's just going to loop over. But this will error if the value of the key is not a simple value. If it's a query, if it's an array, if it's in a structure, you'll get an error with this code, because you can only output simple values. But this is just an example of how you can loop over a collection, and you could create some nice recursive functions. There is a good presentation on that here, so if that's something you're interested in, you could loop over it to recursively go down. There are several ways to create new structures. The first and most common is just a variable set. Say struct1.myValue equals 2. It's going to create a new structure called struct1. Create a key called myValue and assign the value equals 2. That's using dot notation. Or you can use index notation. Exact same thing. It's going to create struct 1, myValue 2 is the key, and the value's 4. I personally prefer struct new. It's a Cold Fusion function that's going to create an empty structure for you. I don't know. I just think it's cleaner. And there are also times if you're creating nested structures or a structure that's part of an array, you will get an error if you use the dot notation to create the structure. So I just find it's easier to use struct new. That way I never have to worry about it. You can also use cfparam, which is the easiest way to create a structure, a new empty structure, if one doesn't already exist. It's easier than writing, you know, if the structure's not defined, then create it. You just use cfparam, and the default is the struct new function. So that creates a brand new structure for you called struct 3 that's empty. Adding key value pairs. The easiest way to do it, and honestly the only way that I do it, is just using cfset. So struct 1.myValue equals 1. That's how I add and update values to my structures. There are a couple other options if you want to use functions. There's struct insert, which takes the structure, the key, and the value. Those are all required, and an optional allow overwrite. What's nice about this is if the key already exists, you can specify whether or not to overwrite the value. If you set allow overwrite is false by default, so it won't overwrite it if it's not already there. It's essentially using cfparam for the key value. So if you set this to true when the key already exists, the value will be overwritten. It returns true if the value was inserted, and it returns false if the structure does not exist or the key exists and allow overwrite set to false. You got that? As I said, you know, I don't use this, but I can certainly see where it would be nice to use if you want to put a value in there that's not already there and know whether or not it was there. If you use cfparam, you're not going to know if you overwrote something or if something already existed. But what's nice about struct insert is you can choose whether or not to overwrite a value, and it tells you whether or not you overwrote the value. And again, it's instead of using isDefined and all this other logic. And again, you can just use cfparam. Oh, it's true or false. So struct insert returns true or false. So on this line, cfset was inserted. So if it was inserted, the value of was inserted will be true. Otherwise, it will be false. Oh, he asked about the slash at the end of the line. It's the XML kind of standard format. Some developers put slash at the end of every line, every tag that doesn't have a closing tag. It's kind of an implicit closing tag. No, it's not required. I just got used to using it, although it messes me up at work because I'm the only developer who consistently does that. And there was an error one time, and it was on a line of code that had a slash at the end of it. And I was busted because I'm the only person who does that. So maybe not always a good thing. And then there's two ways to update existing key value pairs. Variable set, which like I said is what I almost always use, and the struct update function, which to me is very odd. It takes the structure, the key, and the value, and it returns true if the value is updated. It returns false if the structure doesn't exist. Now, to me, I think it should error if the structure doesn't exist, and it should return false if the key doesn't exist, but it throws an error if the key doesn't exist. So this function doesn't work very intuitively for me, which is probably a reason why I don't use it. But again, it's nice to use if you want to find out whether or not the value was updated. You know, you can use the it returns true or false. There are a couple structure decisions. If you have a variable and you don't know what type it is, you can use isStruct. It just returns yes or no. If it's a structure, it's yes. If it's not a structure, returns no. And then there's also structIsEmpty, returns yes if it has any keys, returns no if it doesn't. So if you create a new structure using structNew and then immediately call isStructEmpty on that structure, it's going to actually, I have this wrong. Struct is empty returns yes. Let me fix this. And I will update that online. All right. Struct is empty is the name of the function. So it returns yes if the structure has no keys, because the structure is empty. If the structure has keys, it's going to return no. So I don't use it very often, but you might want to if you have a session structure that gets cleared out or something like that. Oh, okay. I'm sorry about that. This slide has a lot of errors. I apologize for that. All cold fusion functions kind of start with the name, you know, so all structure functions start with struct, all array functions start with array. So I apologize for that, it was a typo. So the name of the structure is struct is empty. Is struct empty? Wait a second. All right. There's one way to settle this. Yeah, that's it, exactly. All right. Let's see. Actually, have not used my Cold Fusion docs since I got my new laptop. There we go, CFML reference functions. We have isstruct, and we have struct is empty. Okay, so question solved. It is isstruct and struct is empty. All right, sorry about that. The question back there?
What actually defines the structure? Because when you're creating what you would set to the variable 2, which would be for the raw variable.
I'm sorry, what was that? What?
When you talk about what you're doing in your slide for creating, mm-hmm. you set a value equal to 2, mm-hmm. which is just the way that you do a normal variable.
But it's not
an. What
defines it as a structure is that it has two parts. So you have something dot something else. So that makes it, if in Cold Fusion, if it's a multi-part variable, it's automatically a structure. Right. The value that is at the, if you think of the dot notation as a list, so something dot something dot something, the last item in the list is going to be the key. Every other item to the right of the, yeah, every other items. I'm a little dyslexic today. Every other item to the left are going to be structures. So the last item all the way on the right is your key name. There's a couple different ways to test if structures exist. You can use isDefine like you do any other variable. You can use isDefine on a structure itself or a structure key, any level deep. I prefer to use struct key exists just because it is specifically designed for structures. Returns yes if the key exists, and it returns no if it doesn't. This will throw an error if any of the structures don't exist, whereas isDefined will just return no, but struct key exists will error out. So you can use this for one nested structure or two levels. So you're just going to use the structure, whether it's one level deep, two, or 10, and then your second value is the name of the key itself. And it'll just say, yes, this key exists. You know, this key value pair exists, or no, it does not.
Is there a different way of creating a two-level structure besides just creating a structure object and then placing that within the original structure, like you're doing a structure that's two levels deep?
You can, there's lots of different options to create structures. You can have a structure and then when you're setting the value, it's struct new or another structure. You can copy them in. You can set a structure key equal to another structure that already exists. It's pretty unlimited how you can do it.
Okay, so it works just like any other variable mm-hmm. or object. Just you can move it wherever you need to move it, and where else does you move it inside a different structure?
Exactly.
Okay. What's the persistence? Page.
Correct. But, yeah, he asked about the persistence. It is just on that page, but you can put structures in your application scope, in your session scope, because you know application is a structure, so you can assign a structure to a key in application. You can persist them. You can actually include them on forms if you use WDDX to serialize and deserialize the data. So you could pass a structure serialized as a hidden form field and then deserialize it on your form post. although there's a couple characters it doesn't like, so I've had to write things. So you can treat structures almost like any other cold fusion variable. You just might need to be a little bit creative with them.
What are the characters it doesn't like?
I think it's, I believe it's ampersand, or trying to think if it's either ampersand or double quote. I can actually look in at the end of the presentation. I have a code example that I can look up to figure out which character I escaped for that. Yeah. Yeah, unfortunately. You can also get properties on your structures, just like you can with your arrays and lists. Struct count is going to return the number of keys in your structure, and that's just for that structure's keys. Struct key list is going to return a list of your structure keys. If you want to just display all of your key names, you can use struct list. Or you can use struct key array, which is going to create an array of all your structure keys. So it's just a couple different ways to find out what's in your structure. You can use them to display. I haven't used these functions very often. I just wanted to show what's out there. I've used structures a lot, and I really don't use these functions, but I can see where you would. I just haven't personally come up with much of a need for them.
Do these work with the built-in structures like applications?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because those are built-in functions or built-in structures or just like any other structures. With the exception of server, because you cannot set server variables. You can only read server. Or no, actually, no, you can set server. You can set server variables. There's a couple that I think that are all, the default ones are read-only, but you can add server variables. All right, so you've created all these structures. You've used struct insert or just set the values. So to get the key value, you can just use struct.myvar, dot notation or index notation just to get the value. You can also use struct find, returns the value associated with the key, throws an error if it does not exist. I don't know why you'd really want to use this other than just using dot or index notation, because you're going to get an error either way, and you know, it doesn't make tons of sense, but you know, you can use struct find if you want to throw more functions in. What's nice about structures is you can delete data. You can struct clear, use the struct clear function, it removes everything. It leaves you with an empty structure as if you used struct new. So it removes all the keys, leaves empty structure, and you don't need a variable set because nothing's returned. So you just can use cf set struct clear, or if you're using cf script, you don't need a variable set name. And there's also struct delete, which deletes individual keys. This is especially nice in application and session scope. If you want to remove a value from either one of those, you need to use struct delete. And again, no value set is needed. Now, personally, I wish that the names of these were reversed, because when I think struct delete, you know, I'm thinking you're deleting everything from the structure, and clear, you're clearing a variable. But I sometimes get these a little mixed up, and sometimes I want to use struct key delete or struct delete key, which doesn't exist. So you know, references help definitely. But as I said, struct delete is a really useful tool to getting rid of variables.
For the sake of the presentation.
Well, my value is just the key name. Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah, he asked if instead of having my value, I should have, you know, say my key instead. Because yes, you're deleting the key.
And the value.
Right. You're deleting both of them, the key and the value. So you pass in the key name. All right. Passing by reference. This is, as I said, a concept that not everybody is familiar with. Normal variables are passed by value. So you have string 1, you set it to A. You set string 2 to equal string 1. And then you say string 1 equals B. Well, your results are going to be B for string 1 and A for string 2. Because when you set string 2, value of string 1 was A. So even though you changed string 1 after the fact, it doesn't affect string 2 because that value is already set. So this is referred to as passing by value. Structures are passed by reference. That means is if you create a new structure and you assign keys to it, you have Adam, Chris, Eric, Bruce, and Dave. So now I create namestruct 2, and I'm setting it equal to namestruct. So right now, namestruct and namestruct 2 are the exact same thing. They both have the exact same keys, values. So now I'm going to change namestruct A to Aaron. Well, if I take a dump of these, namestruct and namestruct 2 are still exactly the same, even though I set namestruct 2 before I change namestruct A. That's because namestruct 2 is just pointing to namestruct. It's not making a copy, it's just a placeholder. So if you change namestruct 2 or namestruct, you're changing the same thing because they're both the exact same structure in memory. So you have, you know, you have your memory with the structure here, and then you just have the names which point to the structure. So just keep that in mind. If you want to create a new version, you can use struct copy. And what this does is, if I use namestruct 2, struct copy, I'm taking a copy of what is in namestruct, creating a new structure in memory, and assigning it to namestruct 2. So now, if I change this value to Aaron, they have different values. Namestruct 2 retained the original structure, and only the second one was changed. This is useful. I do this a lot in, I have a session scope where, you know, all my session variables. And instead of, you know, older versions of Cold Fusion, you had to lock your session when you wrote, but also when you read. So you just, you know, outputting session.name, you needed to lock that. Or it was ideal if you locked it. So at the bottom of my application tag, application.cfm, I would duplicate session into request.cess. I'd make a persistent session structure called cess that was a copy of my session variable. But it was an actual copy. So if session was changed somewhere, it wouldn't change it on the page or vice versa. If I changed request.cess, it wouldn't change the actual session. And it's just a nice way of doing it. But there is overhead. So if you don't need to use struct copy, don't, because then you're having multiple copies of the structure in memory as opposed to one. So you just need to think about whether you need a separate copy that you can change that won't be affected by changes to the original. With sorting keys, as I said, they're just put in any order. They come out in any order. So there is a struct sort function. It takes one argument required is the structure name, but you can also pass in the sort type and the sort order. And it returns an array of the sorted keys. Now, I have to tell you, I was trying to create an example of this, and I was having problems. It wasn't sorting it properly. So was that somebody? I don't know if anybody has any insight on this particular one. Maybe I didn't get a chance to look up if it's a known issue. Okay. Oh, okay. So the struct sort function is essentially useless. Okay, I'm glad to know that. I'm glad I'm not the only one that had that issue. Maybe it works with the updater. I didn't get a chance to download the updater last night and try it. So in theory, struct sort should work. If it doesn't, you can output the list of the keys, sort the list, and then loop over the list, which is hardly inefficient. So hopefully they'll get struct sort working soon. All right. As I said, evaluate is bad. This is an evil function. You shouldn't be using it. And you really don't have to, because almost anything in Cold Fusion is going to be a structure. Common thing I used to do, and probably you used to do or still do it, is evaluate form.fieldname. You're looping over your form fields and you use evaluate. Structure calls can be up to 2 times faster than evaluate. So that same, instead of using evaluate, form field name using index notation. Variables.var_whatever your index is. You know, if you're looping from 1 to 10 and you have variable_1, variable_2. You can also use it for queries. So you have query, your column name, and the numeric row number. And I'm going to show an example of that a little bit later. Queries can be referenced like structures, but they're really not structures. But you can use structure notation. They're kind of a hybrid. And as I said, you can also use them to pass to CFCs. Here's an example of just passing variables to a CFC. you set three variables, you pass them in your function call, or you could also use CF component in CF function. I can't remember the last time I actually used that notation. Yeah, you're passing in, you know, the function arguments. And it's a little too early this morning. So you just pass in all your variables, comma, delimited list. And then within your function, you have to have an argument tag for every variable you're passing in. I prefer to use a structure. You just pass in one variable, and then you only have one argument. So if you want to pass in more variables, you just add them to your structure. That's all you need to do, and I find it's much easier and cleaner. And, you know, it's just very confusing to have 50 argument tags. The one drawback of this, though, is there is not implicit data type validation on every key value within your structure. Because if you see if argument, you say this one's numeric, this one's string, this one's date, and you'll get an error if somebody passes in an incorrect value. With a structure, you don't have that. Somebody could have a string in the date field, and then you get an error when you go to insert it. So you need to put your validation in somewhere else. So it's just kind of where you prefer to do it. A lot of times I'm inserting form data and I already have validation JavaScript on my form and some server-side validation. So by the time it gets to my function, I'm fairly certain it's what it needs to be. All right, I'm going to show some examples now. Let's see. First one is with form variables. I have a form that has... So I have a form that has all these different variables. It has ID, today's date, modify underscore date, so on. Some of them have value sets, some don't. So if I submit this and output form.fieldNames, I get 8 form fields returned. In the structure, 2, 3, 4, 8, 9, I get 10. So I have 2 more from dumping out the form structure than I do from form.fieldNames. Well, first of all, I have field names in my structure because that is passed. Cold Fusion creates a form variable called field names. The other one is modify underscore date. It's not available in form.fieldNames, but it is available in my form structure. Does anybody know the reason for that? Back in the day, Cold Fusion had built-in server-side validation for forms. So you would create a form, and you have a field called modify, its text field. And then you have a hidden field called modify underscore date, and the value, you could say, a date, valid date is required. So somebody fills out the form, and they put in, you know, a string of characters, you know, letters, and they hit submit. Well, they get this page that says, you must enter a valid date field, and it has a backlink. There was underscore date, underscore required, underscore integer. These are legacy. I used them back a long time ago, but they're still there, even though nobody uses them. So most people don't have an issue with required and integer, but date is very commonly run across in this issue, because a lot of people name database columns underscore date, and you know, so you have field names, database names, and then you do form.field names and it doesn't exist. Well, that's because Cold Fusion ignores them. It doesn't put them in form.field names, but if it does exist in the structure, so it just shows that if you don't know what is in your form, you don't want to loop over form.field names. You want to loop over the structure. So I'm going to show what happens when you do one versus the other.
Mm-hmm. If you take modify underscore date out of your field, are you still going to have it when you do it?
No, because it's not. Those were all the hidden form fields. So, it's the same as if I just had text fields. I just did it to save space. So if you remove modify underscore date, it's not a form field. So it's not going to be in your form dump. Because I don't have something called modify. Like, if I have a text field, a date field, and I call it modify underscore date, because that's the date, you know, in my database it's saved. So you type it in, everything's fine. But if you're trying to loop over form.field names, ColdFusion treats it differently, even though in your mind, you're not using this for a validation field. You're using this as your named field. So if you remove it, it's not going to be in your dumped output either. So I have some code here that's just going to loop over everything. The first example is I'm looping over a list. Actually, in both examples, I'm looping over form.field names. The first one I'm using evaluate, and the second one I'm using the structure index notation. And if I reload my page, you can see they come out with the exact same data. So using evaluate and the index notation returns the exact same thing, it's just the index notation is going to be faster. Now I'm going to loop over the structure as opposed to form.field names. So what I have here is I'm looping over the collection form and the item is field and I'm just out displaying it. And then you've noticed I have in my form a variable called numRefs with a value of 4 and I have ref 1, 2, 3, and 4. This example a lot of people probably use if you have sub-elements, so you have your details and then, you know, a drill down of sub-details for it, you know, for an order, for a shopping cart you have your order information and then all the different products in the cart. So a lot of times what I do is I put how many items were in the cart, how many items were purchased as a hidden form field, and then I name my fields, I loop through my record count, you know, I have 1, 2, 3, 4. So then when I post it, I say, okay, well, I know that I had 4 items, and I'm going to loop over them, insert them, or update them. So I just use an example of how to do that here. I'm looping from 1 to the number of refs, which is going to be 4, and then I'm outputting ref the value of I. Now, if you end up having more refs than the numRefs, you're going to have a problem or vice versa, but usually you're doing a record count or a number, you know how many you have. All right, so when you output the results of the structure, you see you have different values. You now have you have modify underscore date, which you did not have up here, and also just showing looping over those references. I'll show you another nice thing about this is, say this isn't your form. Somebody else sent this to you, and you have this nasty column, and it is today's date with an apostrophe and a space in it. So I'm going to refresh. Oh, I have to actually refresh the field names. So I list out my field. Form.field names recognizes it's today's date. The form dump recognizes it as today's date. Loop over the form fields. Okay, I can't use evaluate on that because it's not a syntactically correct ColdFusion variable name. So if I comment this portion out, get rid of using evaluate, and I refresh, everything else works because I'm using my structure notation. So it just shows you another downside of using evaluate. You know, if you use your form structure, you can have any kind of name you want. Obviously, I'm sure there are limitations, but if you have bad variable names, bad form names, this is definitely a way to get around it. All right, query output. I have this query, and what it is doing is pulling out a lot of different alcoholic beverages and their calories. I have how much calories light beer has versus regular beer, cream de menthe, gin, rum, vodka, all these wonderful things. This is from a nutritional database that the USDA has up on their website. So the query is just a bunch of joins. Yeah, just a standard query, nothing special. And I'm dumping the outputs of that, dumping the results of that. Now normally when you have a query, you just CF loop, CF output over it, display it nicely. But what if that query is dynamic? You don't know the column names that are being returned because the column names are conditional on what data is being passed to it. Well, in that case, what you traditionally do is loop over the list of column names, because when you have run a query, you're returned query name dot record count and also query name dot column list, which is a comma delimited list of all of the names returned in the query. So you just loop over the column list, display the column name, and then you loop over the output. Each row, you just loop over the query, and then again, you loop over the column list and use evaluate. In that case, this is what you get. It's not very nicely formatted because you are using the column name, not a nice label that you're putting, but it gets your data there for you. But as I said, evaluate is bad. So you can use structure notation to display your query. Your table header is going to be exactly the same. You're looping over your column lists, and then you loop over your query, you loop over your column list. This is the only row that is different. For using structure notation with the query, you have your query name, and then your first level, your first dimension is the name of the column, and your second dimension is the row number. Now, I always kind of get this backwards because I think that it should be row number and then column name, but it's not. So if you run this, you get the exact same results, but it's going to run up to 2 times faster. So it's just another example of how you cannot use evaluate, because I said, you know, you can almost always find an alternative to the evaluate function. Mm-hmm. Sure. I'll go back to the code. Yeah, everything is on my website, and these Cold Fusion source files are up there as well.
Do you have an example of where you're on a form and you're posting to another page, an action page, let's say,
mm-hmm.
it's going to take that form collection as a structure,
mm-hmm.
pass it to your function?
Mm-hmm. I do. I can... Let's see, I can show you that real quick. Let me show you one more example. I have an example of a complex structure. And what I've done is I've created this from a query. I have another query that has all these alcoholic beverages, but instead of just having the calories, it also says how much sugar each one has, if anybody's conscious of their carbs, as well as how much alcohol is in there. So you can kind of compare, okay, well, this has, you know, less calories and more alcohol. I'm going to get more bang for my buck on this one. So, you know, normally you could just output this, you know, grouping your output, displaying it. But I wanted to use an example of creating a complex structure. So the first thing I'm going to do is create an array, because I'm going to have an array of structures. So I create an array, and I have some counters here, and I'm not going to go step through this line by line because it would take too long and everything's up there, but you just count, you loop through it, you create your first level of structures, which is going to be the food group name, which in this case is all going to be beverages, and then you put in your create a subarray of my structure for each food type, and then create an array for that and a structure. So you can see the end, the final level that I have is an array that has, this is in my array, which contains a structure that is another array, which contains another array of structures. It's multiple levels deep, and if I output this, you get a better idea of what it's going to look like. So this is what I created from my query results set. It's multi-level structure of arrays, and what's nice with cfdump is arrays are green, structures are blue. So you can visually see what's an array and what's a structure. So, and you can close these, because this is the nice thing about using cfdump. So I have an array that contains a structure for each food group, which then creates an array that has each food items, and each food item has a structure which is going to contain the nutritional information. So this is just an example of how you would create a multi-level nested structure. So now you have this structure. To display it, you just loop over it. It's a lot easier to display it than it was to create it. So I'm looping over my original array length, displaying my food group name, then looping over the array that contains all the food items in the food group, and then looping over the collection of the nutritional information. So if I reload this again, I get a nice little list. Now, as I said, I could have done this with just CF output and using the group attribute. This example wasn't necessarily to show how to create a complex structure from a query. It was just the kind of quickest and easiest way I could get a group of data that would be a good indication of when you would use it. Most complex structure I use is in my shopping cart application. At the base level, I have the order information, the billing name, all of that, and then I have an array of the items they've purchased, and each element is a structure that has the item name, the description, the quantity, and I pass that entire thing to my shopping cart processing function, and it pulls the route information out, it loops through the array of shopping cart items, inserts each one, creates the order. So those are examples of when you would use nested structures and arrays. Now the example was, or the question, actually I had two questions. The first one was, what values are not valid with when you use WDDX? Let's see, I've got 10 minutes left. Go. Here is my deserialized. It is ampersand. Ampersand does not like it. If you have a value in one of your structures that has an ampersand in it and you use WDDX to serialize and deserialize it, it is not going to like it. So I am escaping the ampersand and putting in ampersand amp, which it still has an ampersand in it, but for some reason that's fine. It likes the coded version, it just doesn't like the ampersand without AMP after it. And I can't tell you how long it took me to figure that out, but it was a pain. All right, so the other question was creating a form, actually having a post, and passing it to a component. All right, let's see if I can throw something together real quick. See how anal I am with those closing brackets? I'll step through this in a second. All right, let's cross my fingers that this works. All right, so I have two form fields, and it does not work. 13. Oh, yeah. Yep, wrong place. Yeah, why is there? There we go. Just making sure you're awake. Yep, forms. Do I not? Ah. Woohoo. All right, so this is interesting. I'm passing in the actual value, not the name. All right, I'm gonna step through the code. What I did is I have just a basic form that I'm submitting, and I'm just saying that my string, I'm passing in a function and just passing in the form, which is a structure, and I'm naming it form struct. I have a tendency to prefix my variable names just when I pass them into structures or pass them into functions using CF script just so I know what's going in there. So I have an argument, just one argument. It takes a structure. It is required. And I'm setting a blank empty string called field names, and then I'm looping over the connection, over the collection, and assigning an item, and then I'm putting in the value of that item into field names. Oh, I know why this is doing it, because the form is actually form.fieldNames, so I have three values. I have two, and then I have form.fieldNames, which is field A, comma field B, and then one. I could throw in. You can see how anal I am because I'm indenting in an example where I don't have a lot of time. All right, now it just outputs the values of the actual form fields. All right, 3 minutes left, or 5 minutes left. Do you have any more questions or examples people would like to see?
What's the URL for your website?
Webtrix.com, W-E-B-T-R... TRICKS.com. It's going to be one of those days. All right. Yes, WEBTRICKS.com. All right. Well, thank you very much for coming, everybody. Sorry it was a little painful at times. Thank you.
Thank you for listening, and we hope we will see you at CF United 2007. This has been a production by TerraTech Programming. For more information, go to www.cfunited.com.